Easter morning, a victorious celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. I often think that actually it was harder for Jesus to die because it's because of sin that people die. And yes, he bore our sin upon his shoulders. And the greater miracle that he died at all, because he was with no sin. Yes, he carried our sins. He had his sins placed upon him, but he rose victorious. And that's what we celebrate this morning, that of his victory. And I think as we come together on Friday, and we was thinking about the death of Jesus, and we was thinking about the cross, and we was thinking about the pain and the anguish and so on. And I just felt God was speaking to me, and he said, we need to look past the cross. We don't forget the cross, but what has God opened up to us after the cross? And so this morning I just want to look at the old and the new. What we had in the old, but what has happened when Jesus, when he died on the cross, has provided for something for the now and for the future. And it's just amazing when Jesus hung on the cross and he cried with a loud voice, and then the veil was torn from top to bottom. That veil that prevented man going into God's presence. But when we go beyond the cross, we come into his presence because of the cross. And whilst we should remind ourselves of all that was accomplished at the cross, we now live in that victory. We now live in all that was provided for us right now. And I'm going to briefly look at some of the old and then a look at what we have in the new. And I'm going to take some verses. I think I will read them. From Hebrews, mainly from Hebrews. Hebrews is a good book. It talks about what is better in the new as compared with the old. Reminds us a lot of the old, but reminds us of what was accomplished in the new. So from chapter 7, I'm just going to read from verse 20 to 28, and then we'll go into chapter 8, just the first six verses. So from verse 20, in chapter 7 of Hebrews. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath, by him who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such an high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer a sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once and for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priest men who have weaknesses. But the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected, and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer up both gifts and sacrifices, Therefore, it is necessary that this one also having something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all these things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Today, Easter, on Easter morning, we remember that Jesus is alive. He is risen. And as we look at the covenant sacrifice, we see today that the one who has become the final sacrifice and who has completed the work and has risen again. We see Jesus not only as our sacrifice, but also our high priest. Jesus, who is the great high priest, our great high priest. We have a better high priest. And to begin with, I just want to look a little bit of the old. We're not going to go into it in any detail. But it just highlights what we have in Jesus who is better than the old. Although the old was ordained by God and set in place by God. But it was a forerunner for what was to come. And as we look at the old and the new, we can see that we are privileged to live in a time such as this. A time where we have an open revelation. We have an open access to God through his only begotten Son, Jesus. The Old Testament was for a time which was part of God's overall plan. However, we are privileged to live in a new dispensation which affords to us a way that we can come into his presence daily. We don't have to wait for each year to come around. We can come into his presence daily. So as we look at the Old Testament order of the priesthood, this is only, again, will be only a brief overlay of what we see in the Old Testament. So the original priesthood was ordained by God. God ordained. God tells Moses who was to serve as priests. And this was the beginning of the priestly order. We have it recorded for us in Exodus chapter 28 and verse 1. Now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These were chosen by God. Moses was then instructed to make them garments. And the whole description is recorded for us in Exodus chapter 28. We're not going to read all of that chapter. But to summarize, we have a list in Exodus chapter 28, verse 4. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, a sash. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that he may minister to me as priest. And then the remaining verses go on in detail too, and it would be a whole study to look at that. So, but there is the original priesthood was ordained by God. The priests were then consecrated by sacrifices. This was a long process. The sacrifices made at the door of the tabernacle. The process is recorded for us in Exodus chapter 29. And this was done over a period of 7 days. Then Aaron and his sons would minister before the Lord and make atonement for the sins of the people. So then the role of the high priest was to make intercession for the people each year. Year after year after year. This was a process that continued. Moses himself was ordained by God and carried out the preparation of the priest. Then to bring it all into context, we have described for us in the building of the tabernacle in all its detail in Exodus chapter 35 right through to 39. Then once it was completed and marvelous things happened, God came and dwelt in that physical tabernacle, that tabernacle that was made to the plan and the detail that God had given. This was the closest that the people would be able to come to God. And only the high priest could come into the Holy of Holies to meet God and to bring an offering for atonement for sin. In Exodus 40, verse 34, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was unable to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, they did not journey until the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night in the sight of the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. And then we have a priestly work. The priests made offerings on behalf of themselves and for the people. And we could look at them, but we're not going to look at all the offerings, but just the sin offerings. There was a need to obey to the letter of the instructions that were given, and we have these recorded for us. In fact, two of Aaron's sons, they disobeyed God. They took in fire which was not consecrated, and they were both struck and burned. God dealt with them because they did not obey the instructions. And the work of the priest was to yearly make a sin offering on behalf of the people. Can you see why we're living in a better time? We have a privileged people because Jesus has accomplished all of this. And so to summarize these offerings, there was a sin offering, a bullock, a ram, burnt offering. We have that recorded for us in Leviticus 16. Thus Aaron, verse 3, thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and of a ram as a burnt offering. And then we have the priestly clothing in verse 4. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash and with a linen turban. He shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore, he shall wash his body in water and put them on. And then offering of the bullock for the people. Also two rams or goats casting lots. One to offer to the Lord and the other to offer as a scapegoat. In verse 6 and 7, Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. And so there is this offering of the bullock. Then there's a sin offering in verse 9. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. And then we have the scapegoat in verse 10. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. Then, only then, the priest goes into the Holy of Holies with the incense and fire. There is also the blood offering and the offering of the goat, which has been chosen, and the sin offering from the people. However, the scapegoat is to carry the sins of the people into the wilderness, in verse 20, 22. And when he had made an end of the atoning of the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all the iniquities of the uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. The detail is very interesting. It is interesting to note that some would say, and this isn't in scripture, but it's, I think, quite a nice little twist to it. It's interesting to say that some would say that there was a crimson piece of wool would be fastened to the goat's horns, and if it returned and the wool had become white, this would indicate that God had accepted the sacrifice. Perhaps that's what is meant when the prophet Isaiah is referring to when he says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And so here we have this whole process that happened year after year. And even after all that, the people couldn't go into the presence of God. And the animals were sacrificed, and so on. And so, having looked very briefly at the Old Testament requirements, this allows us to understand that not only do we have the forerunner here of what was to come, but we see that our high priest is far better. And he encapsulates and takes upon himself all these parts of this whole process that we have recorded for us in the Old Testament. Jesus is a better high priest. We've read it in Hebrews chapter 7. "For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, then the people's. For this he did once for all, when he offered up himself." In Jesus, our great high priest, we have all of the Old Testament requirements for our atonement for our sin. The people's atonement in the Old Testament was reliant on the priests, was reliant on the sacrifices, but it was a yearly offering. But in all this, we have in the new fulfilled in Jesus. We have the temple fulfilled in Jesus. John chapter 2, verse 19. Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." But he was speaking of the temple of his body. We have in Hebrews chapter 4 that he is a high priest. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." So we have the temple in Jesus. We have the fact that he is our high priest. But not only that, he is our sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 9, "He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. He was the sacrifice, and also he was the scapegoat. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Can we see the old being fulfilled in the new? All these things, the temple, the priesthood, the sacrifice, even down to the fact of the scapegoat, which had all the sins laid upon it. Jesus himself had all our sins laid upon him, and he took upon that upon himself. The sacrifice was accepted. And we have in Jesus our great high priest, who now intercedes for us. He doesn't have to go into the temple each year, but it is a completed work. We celebrate today the resurrection of Jesus because it is a completed work. He took upon himself our sin. He made himself, he humbled himself. He went the way of the cross. He carried our sins upon him. But he now has risen victorious and now intercedes for us in heaven. He is our great high priest. Just as the high priests went into the tabernacle on behalf of the people, our great high priest, Jesus himself, has entered into the heavens. God sent Jesus as a provision to intercede for us in the presence of God. He came in humility. He became the final high priest forever, making intercession for us. No more continual sacrifice, making a way for us as priests to enter within the veil. And finally, one day, to be in his presence, to see him face to face. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer, sprinkling the unclean sacrifices for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? He truly is a great high priest, the perfect sacrifice. He is the one who intercedes for us. And what happens now? We, his people, we serve as priests. Not as the great high priest, but as those who serve in terms of service here on earth. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory, dominion, forever and ever. Amen. Remember, in the old, the priest had to be washed, had to be clothed. But we as priests, we have been washed by the precious blood of Jesus. We are clothed with the garments of salvation. We have those priestly garments, as it were, upon us. Remember the garments that the priests of in the Old Testament, they were washed. They were worn as a covering. We wear today the garments of salvation as a covering so that we can be called priests of God. We are being built as living stones into the temple in which God dwells. They built a tabernacle in the Old Testament. We today are living stones being built into a temple in which God comes and dwells. It is because of our great high priest who has offered once and one sacrifice that we can be reconciled back to God. No longer a tabernacle made with hands, no longer a temple made with hands, but a living temple in which God dwells. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 4, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We today do not offer blood sacrifices, but we come as priests to offer our sacrifices of praise to a God, which we trust our sweet-smelling Saviour, to God our Father. In the old order, the high priest came out, but the new high priest remains to make intercession for all of us. Jesus is truly a better high priest. He is human as well as divine. Hebrews 2:17. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. He was sympathetic. Hebrews chapter 4. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He was divinely appointed. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. He who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." He's eternal. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20. Even Jesus, having become a high priest forever, he is sinless. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And he's exalted. Philippians 2, verse 9. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Our great high priest is better than the first. We have a great provision through the great high priest who has completed the work that his Father sent him to do. Today we remember the resurrection. We remember the completed work. The completed work here on earth. When he hung on the cross, he cried, "It is finished." The mission that his Father had given him to do was now complete. And the writer in Hebrews, he says these words in Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That is what we see beyond the cross. We see on the cross the final sacrifice. And beyond the cross, we see the outworking of the provision that was given at that time. And we can come boldly. We can find grace. We can find mercy in our great high priest. And finally, we have a responsibility. First, we need to receive that great gift of salvation. Then we must serve as his chosen ones. We are called to serve God because we have a better high priest. And we will one day see God face to face. We will be in his presence. All because of the obedience of God's Son, who laid down his life, rising again on the third day, and making it possible for us to be reconciled, making it possible for us to enter in to the fullness of our provision. Truly, we're living in a better time than the old, because we have a better high priest. Let us therefore today rejoice in it, be reminded of the fact of all that was accomplished at Calvary, and live in the victory, live in the provision that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen.